This is BJ Ward, and you're listening to What's on Joe Mind.
Anything else there you want to read?
Hang on, I'm pulling up Weather Channel here.
Chuck, you need to talk about Undertaker's streak and get that out of your system?
Oh, don't get me started.
Hold that thought, Chuck.
I learned that a bunch of people I never thought were wrestling fans were actually wrestling fans last night.
No shit.
Really?
Dude, that's the mania. That's the mania. The mania attempts to make fans, that has a lot of those one-night fans.
It was WrestleMania last night.
Apparently Don is not one of those fans.
I thought you were a wrestling fan, Don.
Not in April when I'm working.
Isn't that what WrestleMania normally is?
That's why I'm not in April when I'm working. I watch it once in a while. I used to. Not so much.
I like how being employed is a prerequisite to being a wrestling fan. Apparently, Chuck, that's why you're such a big fan. Because you're not employed.
Screw you, Justin.
Oh, and that's where we're going to start this recording right there.
Jesus Christ.
Go, go.
Good.
Oh, my God.
Jesus Christ, Gary? Oh, you know what Jesus Christ said, Justin? He says, screw you, Justin, too.
Crawled up
with the choir of angels behind him, going,
oh, damn. Justin is sharp for this weekend, let me tell you.
Hey, Justin, did you ever get my birthday present?
No.
I did send you something.
You did?
Yes, in honor of hitting the big 4-0. I sent you something that I think I felt that, you know, you could use. A practical gift.
It's probably an old joke.
Okay.
It's an old joke, I'm sure.
I have no doubt.
No, it was a case of depends.
Once you start
getting up in those numbers, it's okay. Nothing to be embarrassed about.
There it is.
You know, it was. I had some left over. You know, I had a couple.
You had some left over. Okay.
From grandma. So these are my. I want you to know these are special. These are my grandmother's.
I took some from my mom and gave them to you.
Well, grandma. So yeah, that's you know very big.
She's very big.
No, that's very big, that I gave her something. You know, she passed away in 2010, so, you know, the part with something of hers is very sacred.
Ah, so they're vintage depends. They're not just depends, they're vintage depends, aren't they?
Vintage. We got O-rings.
They're not used, are they?
No.
All right.
Well, to be honest, I don't know. I mean, I didn't check, but, hey, you know what? A gift's a gift.
Yeah.
They're the Transformer the movie depends.
Oh, dude. Dude, if they made those.
Chuck would never use the bathroom again.
Never see a toilet again.
Well, I don't know. I mean, it's like, would I want to use them or would I just want to hold on to them? It's like, because you figure it's only an infinite amount.
Wow. Your okay, toilet. Are we ready to get this show started?
I suppose we're as ready as we're going to be.
I thought you said,
All right.
I thought you said we already started with me telling screw you, Justin.
No. The recording's already starting, but this is kind of the whole live lead-in bit.
Oh. All
right. You ready?
Yeah, hold on. Mute up.
All right. Welcome to episode 93 of What's on Joe Mind. We are a fan cast about the world of G.I. Joe, and this is our annual live, quick, and dirty episode that we do right before JoeCon. Joining me, as always, is our showrunner, Chuck. Now, Chuck, you have two strikes against you automatically because I know you're dying to talk about WrestleMania, and the only thing I will let you talk about is the monumental upset of The Undertaker, because that has hit my feed over and over and over again on Twitter and also on Facebook. Apparently, this is mainstream, so go ahead and get it out of your system.
Well, first of all, Gary, something I just wanted to point out that I just realized we're sitting here. For future reference, guys, it always seems that this pre-recording the pre-JOCOM reporting is always the Monday Night Raw after WrestleMania. So maybe that can give you an idea of when to expect JOCON for next year. But
2 years in a row, it's been in April, but yeah, it's not always in April.
Yeah, all right, now...
He doesn't know he hasn't been the one.
Oh,
come on.
I'm sorry. When your mom lets you out.
Screw you, Andrew.
There you go. I'm sorry. Oh, you must be nice Don tonight. Nice Don.
No, we didn't bring you on to be nice Don. No way.
Now, I mean, really... Because you're right. I mean, this is it's actually kind of sad because this is a big night for a young guy, and instead of being remembered as the night Daniel Bryan won, it'll be remembered as the night the Streak died. Now, I know Gary, Justin, Mike, as football fan, in football, respect is a big thing. For example, this past Super Bowl, there was that issue. I think it was one of the Seahawks quarterbacks had a little fun, made a little like wrestling type promo in an interview, and people thought it wasn't respectful. In wrestling, respect is a little different. In the old days, the tradition was if you were leaving a territory, you would lose and put all the other guys over because you're not going to be making money for them anymore. But in more recent years, there was always that respect to some of the older wrestlers. And really, there aren't that many around anymore because a lot of them have had to retire. But the one of them was The Undertaker. And now, the Streak only became a thing 7 years ago. And it literally was some little Hollywood snot rag woke up one day and said, hey, he's never lost at WrestleMania. And that's when they started making it a thing.
I seem to remember it longer than that.
Well, I mean...
The WrestleMania 2000, I know they talked about it. That's about last time I watched wrestling, about 2000.
Yeah, but really as a selling point for the show. I would say 7, maybe 8 years, thereabouts. But, fully admit, he wrestled once a year to a point. And, yes, I can understand the argument. He's taking a spot from a younger guy who can go 365 days a year. But to have him end the streak is one thing. But to have him end the streak to a guy who's a part-timer, who never wanted to be a pro wrestler, who, in my opinion, is a bully, is a real-life bully, is a miserable human being who, the fact that he was on Raw tonight, I'm amazed, because he only has a set number of dates because he doesn't like to travel, I think was wrong.
Mm.
And I think it showed. I mean, in my household, you literally had it when that hand came down for 3, you had 3 grown people, jaws hit the floor. And I'll admit, we all uttered an expletive because we couldn't really comprehend what had happened.
I want a picture of Mama Emanuele dropping an F-bomb.
you gotta keep in mind something. Undertaker has always been one of her favorites. Going back 20 years to when he was Mean Mark Calloway, she liked him. And this was like the big thing. And like you heard it. It sucked the air out of the arena. As John Layfield said on Raw a few minutes ago, the only thing comparable is 1971 when Bruno Sammartino lost the title in the Garden. Now, again, the other thing is, too, he also was hurt. Apparently, he actually ended up getting a concussion from a single leg takedown, which in the grand scheme of things is a simple move, which means it's like, hey, you know what? If he's getting hurt now doing a takedown, then maybe – it is time, but, I just think it could have been done differently, done better, and it really, Mike, I know I talked to you, I'm going to use the phrase, this was Iron Man 3 level of bad, as in it just took the luster off of everything, and it just made it what was a fairly good show, just blasé.
Well, it's interesting they actually used that Iron Man comparison, because I think what a lot of people are kind of missing with the whole move to do what they did was the amount of press and the amount of attention that it got. I mean, I think even if Undertaker lost to like some other random dude who wasn't Brock Lesnar, I don't think they would have gotten nearly the feedback they got. And, you know, you talk about Iron Man 3 taking the luster off of things. Well, Iron Man 3 made over $1 billion internationally and was the leading movie last year. So
the Mandarin thing. I'm talking about the Mandarin thing, which still, apparently I've been told has been fixed, but...
But, yeah, but it's still done great things for the franchise. It made a whole ton of money, and that's what the end goal is. Yeah. So I think by doing what they did...
I don't know going forward how this is going to make them money, because the money was already made. I was sitting there watching it. They already had my $60.
Yeah, for that, but what about going forward? I mean, now the viewpoint is, geez, well, they broke Undertaker's streak with a loser like Brock Lesnar. Nothing is sacred. They could do anything from here on in, and more people will be tuning in to watch it.
They could start another streak with Brock Lesnar, who's known to the MMA people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but he's already lost at WrestleMania.
Yeah, but if he keeps winning, then it doesn't matter. Well, people have a very short memory.
Yeah, well, that's true. I think really the magic, the magic of the streak, and this is actually kind of funny, a lot of people don't realize, Taker didn't appear on every WrestleMania he was eligible for. One year he wasn't used, one year he was injured. So he could actually have had like a longer streak if he was around. So, I mean, that's actually one. It's a little aside, right, but, it wasn't what
it was. You got it out of your system now, Chuck?
Well, yeah.
Okay, all right.
For the most part.
All right.
Can we go back to talking about football now?
I'm sorry for
you. I still haven't done all the intros yet. This fellow knows what it's like to have a streak broken. It's Justin Bell.
Oh,
hey, Justin,
motherfucker.
How you doing?
Master of the bitchy segues. Yeah, we were just talking about that.
How you doing, Justin?
I was doing fine until that moment. Now I'm going to hang up on your ass.
And the breaker of streaks, Mike.
Oh God! I think it was 18 in a row for Justin Bell's Patriots.
Yeah, yeah.
Not even counting what they may have won going back to the preseason or previous season. Or,
mm-hmm.
It was a mild day that day in Indianapolis. And of course,
well, actually, it was a straight 18 wins because the last loss they had the season before was against the Colts in the championship game.
It's a mild day in Indianapolis under the dome. There stood the proud, tall men, the giant men, if you will, from New York.
Yeah?
There to claim a 17-14 victory in Super Bowl 46.
Wow.
21-17, I'm sorry. 17-14 was in Super Bowl 42.
Anything else, Mike?
I got nothing.
Okay.
Let's introduce our guest.
And joining us for our annual guest, for this annual live, quick and dirty recording of What's on Joe Mind. As always,
Mr. Quick and Dirty himself.
Mr. Quick and Dirty. He is the vice president of the Crappy Figure Brigade. He will be here to talk to us about this year's upcoming annual meeting that will be held at JoeCon. It's Don Anderson. Don, welcome back.
Well, thank you for having me.
Oh, anytime. Like I said, we were running low on guests tonight. We figured you were a shoe-in.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm always there for you when you have nobody that wants them, or they're too busy getting ready for con.
Great. So when do we expect to see you in Dallas?
On Thursday.
On Thursday, okay.
Oh, Wednesday night, I think.
Wednesday night. So you're going to be at the custom class?
No. I was at a wedding and wasn't able to get my stuff in.
Oh, that's too bad.
Yeah, I know. I won't be able to be in Alyosha's class. Darn it.
Don't get me in trouble with Alyosha because you don't.
John's a bitch and it's fine. No, I'm just kidding. I get along fine with John. I'm just...
Wow.
I'm messing around. No, I wasn't able to get in the class.
No, okay.
Because they decided to put the stuff up for sale on Saturday afternoon at 3:00.
Yeah, it would have been about 3 year time. Yep.
Yep. 3:30, I believe.
Yeah. That
wow.
Was,
all right. Well.
Interesting timing, but no. I'm doing the. Besides, I'm doing the library tour with your wife.
Yes. Debbie decided that she did not want to spend the entire day by herself in the room or whatever, and she's actually doing one of the tours.
Yeah, I'm doing the
tour. Is
that
a euphemism, John? Just Don. Is that a euphemism?
No, I'm married.
Library tour, does that mean something?
No.
No, I'm married.
It will.
That's not true.
No.
Sorry, Debbie.
So we're at that point in the program now that we have everyone introduced. We'll go into our next segment, which is the Joes of 1993. We will go around the horn, talk about our favorite figures and favorite vehicles from the year of 1993. Kicking it off, as always, with the figure is Chuck. Go ahead, Chuck.
Guile.
Oh, God.
What the
boom,
fuck?
Right out of the box.
Oh, damn.
Controversy swirling around.
Jesus.
You picked- wow.
Why Guile? Is that all you're going to give us, Chuck? Is just Guile? You're not going to give us a little...
Well, because it was Christmas of 93 was the last time I got G.I. Joes as a present. And it was those Street Fighter 2 figures. Because I was playing the game. I thought it was great. I was getting hustled by horrible people at my local arcade. And... yeah, that was it. And out of all of them, I remember I really liked Guile because he really fit the best into the G.I. Joe stuff because, you know, hey, he's a, you know, was a military guy and, you know, that's that.
Which version, 1 or 2?
Version 1, because version 2 was the vehicle driver. I didn't have any of the vehicles.
All right, excellent. So right out of the box, Chuck storms us with Street Fighter. What do you got, Mike?
I'm trying to think of which Mega Marine to pick to.
And no matter which one it is, it won't top Guile.
No, it's no, it could because those Mega Marines are pretty sad.
Hey!
Sorry, they're really just terrible. And I mean, this from a year which gave us Giraffe Pants Leatherneck.
In the CFP, baby.
Yeah, there's a lot of, I think cosmically speaking, this is no coincidence that this is where Don Anderson appears on the show.
Hell yeah. Many nominees.
I'm going to take the default pick here. I'm going to take the easy out. And, with apologies to the cool, B-themed Alley Viper. I'm just going to stick with my favorite character and go with Beachhead version 2, even though he looks more like a Cobra than a Joe.
Seriously? That figure looks great. It's one of the darkest colored figures of that entire year.
Oh, it's actually a good-looking figure. It just doesn't... It says Cobra to me.
Okay.
It doesn't say Beachhead to me. It's this guy in blue and... I mean, like I said, he looks pretty cool. It's really not dissonant. But
you're kind of dissonant.
it just doesn't work as Beachhead for me. But it's still a good looking figure.
All right, Don, what do you think?
So are we talking CFB or something?
We're talking just your favorite figure.
Don, you go about this however you want to.
Yeah, I guess.
Or you got Guile.
Whatever you want, Don.
Guile on the board. Ninja Force Scarlet Mega Marines Clutch. You go nuts.
It's really hard to pick a good one. No, it's really hard to pick a good one.
I hate you all.
I guess good. Man, I'm sorry.
There is a reason this is the penultimate year of the Real American Hero Collection.
just wait till we get to the straight repaint run of episode 94.
Oof.
I go with Grizzle.
Okay.
It's a good choice.
Because it was a new character and nice figure all the way around.
All right.
No, Justin. No creamsicle colored Ginsu.
Oh no! If we're going to talk CFB, then I can get into many others. But
or long arm.
or cross country version 2.
Yikes!
Or what we really like to call them, redneck country.
All right, Justin, save it.
While you guys are making fun of it, I'm actually looking through and trying to find some that I had a hard time making a decision while you guys were laughing it off. But ultimately, I think I'm going to go with the Crimson Guard Commander He does have some yellow on him, but I think the figure is still very cool. I like his battle mask, his little gauntlets with the rockets on him, and the cool Cobra logo on his chest. So he's a cool figure. You guys go screw.
That would have been a good goal.
He's a winner for me in Battlegrounds, so I can stand by that.
Oh, the game. Okay. I'm going with Headhunter Stormtrooper version 1. Actually, I think that the club redid...
What's that? Go ahead. Go ahead.
Headhunter Stormtrooper version 1.
Yeah, that's a great choice. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, and I was getting ready to comment to say that the club later redid this one, and they just made it green. They maybe added a few paint apps, but even if they never redid it, this was a pretty solid figure on its own right, on its own legs. So
Very close second to me.
Yeah. I went with the Headhunter Stormtrooper. All right, vehicles. Chuck?
Sonic Boom Tank, I'm betting.
No. I actually did not get any vehicles from this year, so I'm just picking something that I think looks cool. And I'm actually going to go with
the game.
And I'm going to go with the Shark 9000.
You mother... That was my choice.
Oh, actually, no, you know what? I take that back. I made a mistake. The Ghost Striker X16. Because
that could have been so much better.
Why?
It was a great proportion set, too.
It could have been so much better. It just got some odd curves on it. I mean, for an F-16, it's cool, but I see what they're trying to do with it, but it's just, they could have made it so much better.
Could have got rid of the gimmick.
Yeah, the gimmick killed it. But I'll go Chuck. I'll agree with that. I do like that. The X-16 was a nice, despite it just falling a bit short. All right, Mike.
I think in honor of Don on the program, I'm going to go with the Star Brigade Invader. Because that is horrible.
It's even worse than the original.
It is. It's like they say, hey, remember the Cobra Pogo? You thought that sucked before. Oh, you got nothing on this. Get ready for Pogo version 2. Here's the Cobra Invader. Yeah, oof. Brutal. Brutal. So that is my tribute to Don Anderson and the CFB.
Oh, thank you.
Don, what about you?
The armor bot.
All right.
Not only do we get a really, really special figure, but we get the insect-looking Gundam thing with launching rockets.
Justin's going to stab us on the sales floor.
I am.
I own an armor bot. So.
Sorry.
I know.
Justin.
Well, I was going to go with Shark 9000. Chuck kind of took it, but then he recanted, so I will I'll go with the Shark 9000.
Okay.
I like the Shark.
Wow, this is a horrible year.
Yeah, it's awful. Go on, get a piece of that detonator with its big foam rocket. Go for it.
That'll fly a whole 3
actually,
inches.
The only one that I have of this, and it's only because they made it in I forget what, Joe versus Cobra, Spy Troops, Fowler versus Venom era, the Monster Blaster. Remember that they came out? It was the it was for all the bats.
They did. It was the bat APC and
the bat APC.
Fantastic.
I'll pick that because that's the only thing in this whole series that I own that's remotely close to this. So I know you could just jam a whole shitload of bats in that thing.
Oh yeah, it absolutely, as a personnel carrier, it absolutely lives up to the name.
Well, there you have it, our quick and dirty podcast live recording of the Joes and Vehicles of 1992.
Keeping in mind that living up to the name personnel carrier just means that you have a lot of chairs.
or foot pegs.
Yeah, but we'll go with that.
Yeah.
Mm.
Did we lose Chuck?
I don't know, did we?
That's a damn shame.
Did our show suddenly increase in quality? I hadn't noticed an increase in quality.
No, that's just... Okay.
Your microphone's horrible tonight, Mike.
My microphone's horrible?
Yeah.
Well, is it better now?
There
is it better now?
Now? Yeah.
Okay.
We get the dulcet, less tinny noise.
My bad.
I can't believe we didn't pick the Beast Blaster.
Why not?
You could have picked it.
I could have, but I couldn't not pick the...
You can't leave the Armorbot alone.
Armorbot, I mean...
It's just... There's so much awful. So much awful.
It has gold, man.
So much awful.
Waiting for Chuck to message me saying, hey, oh well, show must go on, right, guys?
Sure, we'll go with that.
So that brings us into the news with Beachhead Mike. That's right, you better add your own sound effects.
I just realized that this is the non-editing show and that I've dropped like 8 F-bombs so far, so my apologies on that.
Yeah, really, we've kept it kind of clean, but Mr. Superfan, yeah. F-bomb this, F-bomb that.
That's me.
That's quality right there. That's the corporate voice of Yojo.com.
Jeez, now you're going to get me in trouble.
Because they weren't thinking of that before.
Right.
We're getting the explicit tag for explicit justice, even though I dropped one of them too.
First news item.
All right.
Justin Bell dropped his corporate voice of Yojo.com.
Yoo-hoo.
No. Marauder Gunrunners is in the figure-making business.
Ooh,
and,
yeah.
This one took a lot of us by surprise. Throwing a Kickstarter on the board on April Fool's Day.
That was. I love John. Stuff right, but that was. Yeah, that caused some questions.
But we will throw this over to Chief Kickstarter Correspondent Justin Bell for more details. Go ahead, Justin.
Yeah, I mean that was a. It kind of took the internet by storm that day. It was definitely nobody really anticipating it, and we should note also that. Good friends of the program's Boss Fight Studios also had a big hand in designing the figure for Marauder, kind of building it from scratch and doing the articulation, the sculpting, the design, all that stuff. I think Andrew did the actual design. I don't know if Dave and Fred kind of tag-teamed the sculpt or how that all worked out. But essentially, Marauder, who has been known for doing their 118 scale weapons, has branched out to the Marauder Task Force and has started a Kickstarter campaign for a series of actual action figures, and they're all extremely nicely sculpted, nicely articulated, well detailed, nice camouflage paint apps in various different shades of color. You can get one figure essentially for as cheap as a $19 pledge, and as you kind of expand your pledge, the figure prices go down on the per number basis. Kind of as you go up and up into, like, you can pledge up to, I think, $395. I think you can pledge up to $695. And it's just all sorts of really, really great-looking figures. They've got Desert Ops, Urban Ops, and Night Ops kind of as the first three tiers of figures you can get rewarded for. But then as stretch goals appear, you can get some green camouflage figures, some red, some white. And I think what most people seem to have their crosshairs on right now is the Carmen level on the Kickstarter, which is $75,000. Believe it or not, the funding was reached in less than 24 hours. He hit his $30,000 goal, which is pretty intense. We've seen guys like the Four Horsemen do that with their Ravens project and with some of their other projects, but I think something geared mostly towards 118 military fans or G.I. Joe fans, I don't think many people were expecting that kind of rabid response, and people were just eating it up, which I think is actually a pretty good sign for, you know, hopefully maybe Hasbro's watching, maybe the G.I. Joe Collectors Club are watching, and they can kind of base some ideas off of the reaction they're getting to this and think about, you know, maybe there is a kind of a market out there for this type of thing. As of this point, it is the night of Monday. That was it, April 7th. And he has hit $64,728, which is pretty damn good. I believe he has reached has he reached two stretch goals or three? I'm trying to.
It's down toward the bottom of the page.
Yeah, he just.
Well, the stretch goals are, the stretch goals have an alphabetical sequence to them. So if we're trying to get to Claire, then we've passed two.
Well, bro is what he's just unlocked, the $60,000 stretch goal. And so he's adding a black mask head sculpt, great mask.
Armando.
Yeah, Armando he passed already. And
Bro.
So we're...
Carmen's coming up.
Carmen is coming up. We're within about $10,000 of Carmen. So I think it's pretty much a no-brainer that that'll happen. But you know, as we get higher and higher, there's some very, very cool stretch goals that happen. So, you know, I'm kind of crossing my fingers that we get, you know, way kind of up with the higher level stuff, because I think they've got levels of like 225,000 where you actually get a get some free weapons with every single figure you order. So if you support it up to like a Commodore level, I think you get like 12 figures. You get weapons for all 12 of your figures.
We also get all the things for free.
Exactly. If you reach a certain level, like the Commodore level, for instance, I think if you do the Admiral level, which is, I don't remember how much that is. The Commodore level is 195. I don't remember what the Admiral is.
I believe it's 395.
Okay. Well, at a certain point, if you support it up to a certain amount, you get one of every stretch goal that gets added onto that afterwards for free. So, you know, me, you know, I don't really need to say how much I supported, but I'm at one of the levels where I'll start getting free stretch goals. So, theoretically, if this goes up to like $240,000, you know, that's three or four extra figures that I could get with all those stretch goals. So it's kind of, you know, if you're on the cusp of kicking it up a level to support this thing, there's some definite incentive in there for you to do that. So,
well, and by doing that, too, you'll see a lot of people supporting it as it hits those stretch goals.
Exactly.
People want
yeah.
the free things.
People who want the free things, or people who want. There's been a lot of people out there that are after that green camouflage figure, which is the Carmen level at 75 grand, and they really want that figure, so they're going to, you know, kind of wait until maybe that target is reached, and then once that target is reached, maybe they'll start kicking in their own and start pushing it up even further. So,
my question on this, real quick, are these identical to modern era construction of
no
our Joes as we know it. I know that they can't be identical.
Right.
Identical. I didn't mean to say that.
They are
because there's probably some
yeah. He's actually
copyright
you know,
issues there and trademark issues.
Yep.
But how close are we looking? Because I'm looking at these pictures.
Yeah.
And I'm really, really close. You got the double jointed knees.
Yeah. The big difference is the torso.
The arms look alike.
The torso?
Okay.
There's no mid-torso joint in the Marauder figures. It is on kind of like a ball and socket. It kind of mimics the O-ring construction a little bit.
Okay.
But I don't think it uses an O-ring. It's kind of got a ball and socket at the waist with nothing on the mid-torso. So he can rotate and turn and stuff, but he does not have that kind of ab crunch joints to kind of put another point of articulation there. But you're right, he does have the double elbows, he's got the double knees, got the ankles. I can't tell if the ankles are rocker ankles or if they're just kind of back and forth ankles. His wrists definitely have all the multi-joint wrists that we first saw with Sergeant Slaughter and the Jungle Viper and the Pursuit of Cobra line. He does have some of those joints. It's a pretty nicely articulated figure, all told. I would say without hesitation, it can reach probably almost all of the poses, if not more, than your typical modern era figure can.
Mm-hmm. So it's, well, this really is big news, and the fact that it cracked its goal in 24 hours.
Amazing. Yeah.
Says something. So for folks that aren't going to JoeCon and you got a little extra spare cash,
yep.
I'm sure go to Justin's site. And I'm sure he has some links to Kickstarter, or just go to Kickstarter and search Marauder Task Force Gaming Figures. That's what he's calling them.
Yep.
Get in there and throw some money in. It's been met. So basically, at the end of the 23 days from now, that's when you'll get charged.
Right.
23 days from now. So if you know you got a payday between now and then, go ahead and throw some in, and then
exactly.
You're not paying immediately. And that will help these stretch goals get met. I'm in for a little bit. I know Justin's in.
I'm in.
Don, you in?
I'm in.
You're in?
I'm going to get
Mike,
through.
I know you're going in, right?
I probably after con. Not in yet, but I will certainly be there.
Chuck, you going to go in?
Yeah, I'm going to go in.
Probably not.
Oh.
What? Oh.
If it was a...
If it was a wrestling figure.
Convertible robot. Army builder figures.
No. No, I wouldn't.
No go for Chuck. Okay. No go for Chuck. If someone would like to buy on his behalf and then just keep the figures.
well, wait a minute. Well, I didn't say I wouldn't be interested in the figure because I was talking to a few people over the weekend and they're looking at possibly going for that 12th figure deal. And so I might grab a couple off of them, but I'm still a little bit on the fence about this whole thing and how I feel about it.
Okay.
Well, how do you feel about it, Chuck? Elaborate on that a little bit.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I had actually Gary mentioned some of the concerns I have is that, you know, this is starting. Is this really – I mean, I'm not going to say it's a knockoff, but this is really like heavy third-party territory. I'm looking at them, and it really looks a lot like, you know, a lot of beachheads in different colors. And I'm just like, you know, how close is this to – you know, real Joe product. And, you know, it's funny, unlike with convertible, you know, robots, you know, with action figures, it's very easy just to come up with your own because it's humanoid, but it's also very difficult because, you know, if you, especially with a military figure, you know, give them this, give them that, and you realize, oh, wait a minute, well, now it's starting to look like the G.I. Joe that's on the shelf right now. It's like, oof, you got to be careful. I mean, I'm going by the photos, you know, that Justin posted a link to that album where it was like I saw a lot of, like, the Urban Ice.
So your concern is that it might get shut down?
Well, not that it might get shut down, but that it just, you know,
I don't get it, Chuck. Help me out.
Well,
I don't get it.
I'm sorry. Maybe I'm not explaining it clearly. I apologize. It's just that – because, I mean, we've seen the figures, but, I mean, we've seen these. I mean, what more is kind of like, are we going to see a figure with, like a masthead and goggles that's going to be called Dice Roller or something that's, you know, obviously a takeoff of Snake Eyes? I really think what my concern is, I mean, is this going to be a vehicle to do versions of established characters under different names in a way that people, you know, that whoever's designing them wants to see them?
Like, I would say that's not a concern. John is very, 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 you know, cognizant and attentive of trademark concerns and copyright issues, and he is staying way, way away from that. I mean, you can even see the listing for this thing calls them gaming figures. It doesn't even call them action figures. Gaming figures. Yeah, part of that, I think, is it's a Kickstarter kind of way you can put these things on Kickstarter. And but I think part of it is also he's trying to stay away from that action figure type of relationship. And I don't think there's any chance you're going to see anybody in there named Dice Roller who happens to be a black commando ninja with goggles and whatever. I don't think that's going to happen. I think most of what he's sticking towards is, you know, original design. And I mean, yeah, Hasbro's got their G.I. Joe IP, but they don't have a copyright on military action figures in general. So
you remember when we had John on the program and he talked about his love of army building and he just couldn't get enough of it. And that's when he started doing his own guns.
Exactly.
This pretty much is you're looking at army builders right here. I don't think you're going to get named characters or unique sculpts, head sculpts coming out of this. Of course, that would mean, I think, going back to the well and doing another Kickstarter because that's going to have to be money that he has to pay Boss Fight for. But I think this is based upon John's love of army building more than anything.
And my only complaint is, you know, hey, come on, fellas. It's not like you guys don't know anybody who runs a news program or anything. Throw us a bone here. Throw us a bone!
Mike's shilling out for free stuff.
I don't mean about free stuff. I just, you know, we could have, if we had broken that news, I guarantee you they'd have met that goal in 23 and a half hours, not 24. Promised. That is guaranteed.
All right. Next news item.
G.I. Joe Club pre-orders are live for the Havoc Mark II. Or the Snowcat thing, or whatever you're calling it in your own world. Also for carded cross countries, we'll go to head G.I. Joe Collectors Club correspondent Gary Godso for more details.
I'm surprised it's not Justin. Well, certainly this kind of quietly dropped in the middle of the week, and couple people picked up on it, spread it around, and so forth. It made its way out. And then finally, the club have made the official announcement that, hey, these are available. The Havoc Mark II is $42, limit one per membership. And they said that would ship, clicking on it now, I think they said it would be shipping sometime at the end of April, approximate ship date, end of April. That's what they have on that. So $42 for that really is not that bad. That's not that bad. Cool. I was expecting them to $60 range. That's really not that bad. I know other people are going, oh, God, 42. I'm thinking, geez, that's 20 bucks less than I anticipated it being.
Yeah, I believe that's what we threw the our guesstimates as at the original price on the program. I believe that's we were out in the $60 range.
Yep.
Also featured is Cross Country. Price is $30 carded. Again, approximate ship date is at the end of April. Limit one per membership. I do not know if these will be a con. In the past, the carded incentive figure has been available at con.
I think they did mention in their FAQ that they would have some at con. They didn't know exactly how many, but they would bring in some of them there.
Excellent. And I believe they said they wanted to bring some to con to have Michael Conahey sign. So if you're interested in having a signed one and you're not going to be making it at the con, check the club store later and there's your chance to get it. So for 62 bucks, you get yourself, or excuse me, 72 bucks, Gary can't add today, you get yourself a figure and the Havoc Mark II. Order today.
No.
All right.
I'm waiting. I'm going to see if they're going to be a JoeCon first.
Don Anderson says, I don't think so.
No, I think it's a potential for future CFB, and, you know, we're fine.
For what? The
cross country?
The Havoc?
The Havoc.
The Havoc?
Not the cross country is awesome. I love the figure. I think they did an awesome job. The Havoc, it's Snowcat in green.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have a problem with the jungle Snowcat. But I had Snowcat as a kid, so maybe I'm just...
That problem is that you're perhaps drinking heavily?
Well, when am I not? But
well, more heavily, perhaps.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Getting into that weird European stuff as opposed to just the...
the normal crap American, I guess.
Yeah, you know.
Sorry,
I don't know. I'm all about the... I'm all about Snowcat in green. I'm about Jungle Cat, Forest Cat, whatever you want to call it.
See, I'm kind of torn. I want it to succeed because I want the club to see vehicles succeed.
Well, it works. I mean, we're not going to see the Havoc. I mean, this is clearly...
Oh, yeah.
I mean, if you can't... If for those of you at home are yelling, I want the real Havoc, it's gone. They would have brought it out. It's gone. This is as close as you're going to get.
Yeah. Yeah. For the time being, anyway.
Yeah.
Hopefully 2, 3, 4 years down the road when G.I. Joe has another renaissance and... stuff out. Justin Bell. I expect such cynicism from Godzo.
What? No, man.
But not
yet. I would expect it from Dawn.
No, Joe will come back. It always comes back.
Yeah, you can't kill G.I. Joe. They've tried. How many times?
Hasbro
does its damnedest to kill it, and it just keeps coming back.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you, community.
Next news item.
Next news item. Prices for the 50th anniversary sets revealed? And, I didn't think that was a huge news item there. I thought we got some suggested retail prices when they released the 2-packs and the 3-packs. So perhaps with more details, we'll go to lead retail correspondent, Justin Bell.
Yeah, I figured you'd be coming to me on this one, considering.
Yeah, because I don't know what's going on with this, Mr. General Joe. So you go ahead and you give us the easy reader version of your website.
well, the problem is I don't know.
There you go. News, right there. Next news item.
I was all prepared for the cross country Havoc discussion. You caught me unawares with the prices revealed. I know they showed up in the Toys R Us computers, but.
Yeah, I didn't think there was anything weird going on there. $14.99 for the 2-packs.
Yep.
$19.99 for the 3-packs. About $40 for the vehicle 2-packs.
Exactly. Right. Yeah, it's pretty decent prices. I mean, $15 for 2-pack of figures is...
Especially at Toys R Us.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
So I think
I mean, it's pretty cut and dry. I don't think it's anything different than what we've covered in the past.
Yep.
But I know a lot of people were kind of surprised by how affordable it was, and I think that's the benefit of 2-packs. It's amazing when, you know, back in the year 2000 or whenever they started, like I guess technically they started doing multi-packs in 97, 98, but when they were doing mass retail multi-packs, people were, I remember the outcry, oh, two-packs, why do we have to deal with two-packs? Why can't we get single figures? And now that, you know, you've been able to get single figures for like $9 or $10, all of a sudden two-packs aren't so bad for $15, so...
I think the deal was, what was it, Mirage and a Viper?
Yeah.
And if you wanted the army build Vipers, you had all these Mirages laying around?
Still have 12 Mirages kicking around, yes.
That's the only part. I wish to do a better way that you could army build them, like maybe put the army builders in a two-pack together. I don't know if they could ever do that, but
it's going to happen too, because you're going to have people with a bunch of blowtorches after they buy all those heat vipers, or a bunch of low light after they buy all those night vipers. I mean, it's going to
bunch of beachheads.
Yeah.
But it's going to happen again. I think. The price point on that, you're not paying for a whole lot of new figures here. So,
right.
The fact that they're pretty low kind of gets in line with all that.
Yeah, mostly reused tooling and stuff. So.
But I wouldn't have been upset. If it had been $19 and $24.99, I still wouldn't have been upset.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I wasn't on the podcast that we had after Toy Fair when these were all announced. So I just want to say thank you to Hasbro for bringing out another snow job. Really, really appreciate it. Thank you.
Even though he's exactly like
not sarcastic, that is a celebration right there.
So
exactly the same snow job as before.
I don't care. Where's Hit and Run?
I don't know.
He's in a concept. And he's got a weird face.
That's true.
He's still a new Hit and Run.
Whatever.
Where's your Snowjob Creel?
I got my Snowjob Creel.
Let's say it's wave 4, isn't it?
You do have your Snowjob Creel, don't you?
Snowjob Creel was wave 2.
Oh, I'm sorry. What? Was it? Yeah, no, it was.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, I knew it was out there.
You realize the fallacy of my insight.
I don't have a snow job from the club, though.
That's true.
I don't have a snow job from the club, so I'm waiting on that, Dave Lane.
Don't do it, Dave. Don't do it. Never hear the end.
Next news item.
We're going to go off book here.
Ah, shit. Whoops.
Well, it's not super far off book. Nothing that's... But the last couple of weeks, the NBC Network surprised us, released details of... a G.I. Joe-themed episode of Community, one of their not-popular but heavily buzzed Thursday night programs. That was on April 3rd, so last Thursday. I'm guessing that all of us have had a chance to watch that and can give some reactions to it.
It was a life-altering event.
I thought Mary McDonald Lewis said that she lent her voice to that.
She did say that. I'm not sure. Maybe the Lady Jane scene got cut or something?
Yeah, she was in the credits. She was actually in the credits as Scarlet.
Oh, is that what happened? Okay.
But Scarlet didn't have any lines.
I don't remember. The only thing I remember about Scarlet is she got punched by Wingman, I thought, at one point. But.
Yes, and that was the one time where I thought I had heard Mary's voice. My guess is that they wound up with something they didn't use.
Yeah, probably.
So
I just, please don't, nobody come up to Michael Bell at Con and ask him to say, what are boobies?
I was going to do that anyway, but now.
Please don't do that. Oh, my God.
Now you've gone and taken away.
I'm disappointed in you if you don't do that.
You've taken the highlight of Don's weekend away from him.
That's a lot, Gary.
I'm volunteering for the club. I'm working the autograph line on Sunday. I will give you $10 to ask Michael Bell that.
Don Anderson, do you accept that bet?
I don't need to. You've got like, what, all 20 people listening to this that are going to...
Did you see the... speaking of Snowjob from earlier...
Come on here and make fun of ratings.
No. I would never do that.
Maybe you could head on Moderately Geeky and do that sort of thing, but we don't tolerate that sort of thing here.
Oh, you have standards. I'm sorry.
No, we don't.
And before you guys just talked all over me, which normally would be edited out, but that's okay. Speaking of snow job, I like their snow job, faux snow job, cold shoulder.
Yes, that was great.
Cold shoulder.
Cold shoulder.
I liked how you made a cameo on that one, Gary.
I did?
Yes, it was. It was Gary Gotso in the jail cell as sleep apnea.
I'm not that fat, man. Not that fat.
It has nothing to do with your weight. It has a lot.
I have more hair.
It has a lot to do with your sleep apnea.
It's better, you asshole.
Oh, shit.
I was a little disappointed that they didn't ask me to participate as the Sunbow voice of both Snake Eyes and Grand Slam. But, you know.
Yeah, that fell on deaf ears. Way to go, Mike.
I know.
Run that joke into the ground.
Look, it's, I thought my house audience would at least chuckle at it, you assholes.
Whoever did Destro actually did a pretty good Destro,
amazing.
Too. Yeah. The Cobra Commander was a wee bit too much. And Zartan, after Cobra Commander pronounced his love for Destro, Zartan, called it.
It's a one line of the episode, but it's a seed stealer.
So now I am waiting for the customizers in the community to come out with the mutineers.
Yeah, it's got to happen. I'm sure it will. Eric
Aranya on Facebook. Yeah.
He was all over
calling out the parts that they used in those mock-up commercials. It's going to happen sooner rather than later.
What was the other character I like? Oh, Major Dick.
Major Dick.
Still in the DVR. I'm going to hold on to it for a little while. It was an okay. The animation, they made it look really crappy at points, and I like where they repeated the whole bit where they kept clunking the guys over the head with the rock. And if that doesn't work, they just clunk the secret trap door open to the rock, and that opens it.
I do think that my favorite moment was when the Zim Zam character gets shot in the leg, and then his twin brother in the Italian restaurant. <It's> insane. Oh, it would be pointless to describe. an excellent episode. Even if you're not a fan of that show, very easy to follow. Had a little bit to do with the main story that they have going at Community. But a nice episode that you could just follow on its own, and it works as a standalone as well. So I will be interested to see what the Nielsens look like for that night and how that helped that program. Because they're again kind of an interesting barometer for what interest actually is in this property right now. And Justin, you've got a bunch of nice, neat little articles and links to other background stuff concerning that on your site as well.
Yeah, I did. I posted a little review of it the morning after the episode aired and put a link up to. There's a great IGN article that actually, they reviewed the episode, gave it really high marks, and then also linked over to an interview with Dan Harmon, who's the creator of Community, who talked about the process that he went through to kind of make this. And yes, they did work hand-in-hand with Hasbro to do this. This wasn't kind of like a shotgun thing. It was kind of a clearly established plan between NBC and Dan Harmon and Hasbro to kind of bring this to life, which is kind of amazing. I mean, you think Hasbro's kind of, cast G.I. Joe off into the wilderness, and then they turn around and greenlight something like this. It's pretty funny. But
all right.
Next news item. Retaliation Wave 3.5 and 4 showing up at Five Below discount stores. And I will personally vouch for that. I found Wave 4 at my local Five Below just a couple days ago. So $5 Night Vipers. Yeehaw.
And, I'm just waiting for them to actually come to a discount store that actually is near me.
You live in the wilderness.
I have a TJ Maxx. Whatever the hell's that?
So again, you live in the wilderness.
But, what's a Five Below?
A Five Below is just kind of the discount store du jour right now. There's just a bunch of them kind of going up all over the place.
It's a step below Ross, if you can believe that.
Yeah, well, I mean, Ross and TJ Maxx and Marshalls are places that buy overstock from retailers, whereas Five Below buys liquidated stock from manufacturers.
So that's right. Everybody who's bitching that you can't get Night Vipers at your local Toys R Us, apparently Hasbro didn't bother shipping them to Toys R Us and just went straight to the discount stores.
Yeah.
Sweet.
Because, because
why get $12 for something when you can get 4?
Yeah, five. They were five apiece, which, when Wave 3.5 first hit, We had some discussions with some of our friends in the retail business and the Joe selling business. And we know those figures per unit were going for a little bit more than $7 a piece, and anything yeah. on top of that was the profit margin. And so the fact that these are being sold for $5, there's no way there's a middle party in these.
No, that's a very good point.
And so they're definitely been these are being liquidated from the warehouse. So, but anyways, the good news is $5 or Five Below stores. Be sure to check yours out sometime soon, or if you're Justin Bell, you know, move to civilization.
If you're not familiar with Five Below, I'm sure they have a website.
They do.
It's fivebelow.com. Wiki says Five Below is an American publicly held chain of discount stores found in a number of states. The store, as the name suggests, sells products that cost no more than $5. The chain is aimed at teenagers and preteens, but has many adult products as well. The first store opened in October 2002. Everything you need to know, Wikipedia.
Don't worry, Justin. We don't have them either.
All right. I don't feel so bad.
Of course, now somebody's going to go and torch that Wikipedia page. They say something like, Five Below was killed at the Battle of Da Nang. You know, just...
And then a paper will be written on it.
And then someone will steal it for a term paper, yes.
Next news item?
That is the news.
That is the news?
The news, man.
So shall we...
Look at your show notes.
That is the news. Well, I didn't know if you wanted to talk about JoeCon as part of the news or not.
Certainly, we had talked about that before.
You're the one that went off script, buddy.
I thought that was just kind of its own segment. I'm sorry.
Well, it could be its own segment.
Well, it was until Gary actually explicitly said at the beginning of the show, let's talk about the JoeCon schedule in the news segment. I'm glad somebody was paying attention.
I don't listen to Gary.
Anyways.
Sometimes.
You want to recover? You want to recover or you just want me to introduce it?
Next news item. So, I mean, really, the answer to that question is always, what's going to cause the most problems? That's what I'm going to take.
Okay.
It's the JoeCon preview extravaganza.
Ooh.
The cast of What's on Joe Mind and Don the Card Anderson. So go ahead, Gary.
Well, we got the schedule, was it late last week?
I think so, yep.
So we have the full rundown of everything that's going to happen between the 9th and the 13th. So we'll just start off with Wednesday, 7:15 to 5:40 is your Fort Worth downtown Segway tour. Anybody on that here from here? No,
no sir. I'll be in the air.
Okay. 8:30 p.m. is golden ticket package pickup.
I will be picking up my package.
And at 9:30...
the rest of
the 10:30 is the package pickup tour or people package pickup for people that are on tour or doing tours, excuse me, or are taking part in the custom class.
Yep.
So there you go. Thursday, April 10th, it will be 9 o'clock to 4:30. The Presidential Library, Bush Presidential Library, and Perot Museum tour gift shop. Oh, wait a minute. Sorry. The way they have these things, columns, I ran on. Excuse me. So I guess you're going to the Bush Library and then the Perot Museum. You are to meet at the gift shop coffee post to go on your tour. From 8 to 4 is a customizing class. Mike, you're in?
I'm in.
Justin, you in?
I'm in.
Don's not in.
I am not in. I am I am going to a library, apparently.
How was that
okay.
wedding?
I was in the middle of nowhere, Texas, with a lousy cell phone with one bar. The fact I even got registered is a miracle.
Were you the one actually getting married?
No.
Then your excuse is invalid.
My wife's relative was. I had no choice.
The hell with your wife's relative.
And, well, the Perot Museum should be pretty quick. It's only 20% as big as the Bush Cars Presidential Library. So.
That's like good.
I love that joke, by the way. It just never gets old.
That's a lot of failed 1992 election for one day.
From 4 to 5 is golden ticket pickup in the reunion ballroom. 5 o'clock, the golden ticket only private club store sales begins.
Ooh, so,
and that's about that time you're going to start seeing all the news coming out of what the two-packs are, what the vehicle is, blah, 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 blah.
So,
that's when you start watching.
Let me get this straight for everybody at home. I actually, as part of the custom class, will be picking up my stuff before golden ticket buyers.
Oh, no, you won't.
No?
You will be able to pick your stuff up
at 5 o'clock
Wednesday night at 9:30 to 10:30.
Your box sets.
That's your box set.
Which is an hour after Golden Ticket picks up their box set.
Oh, all right.
Okay?
Right.
So, but keep that in mind.
I was confused.
Because now on Thursday, at 6 o'clock, you can go right to right in line at 6 o'clock to the club store, because 6 to 10, the club store opens for registered guests. From 6 to 10, also, the registration package pickup line opens by groups. You should have got an email to tell you what group you're in.
Yes.
Okay. From 8 to 9:30, those of you that are an exhibitor or a dealer, that's your load-in drop-off time. And that's in the Marcellus Hall dock. There's a dock that's attached to the hall there. At 9 o'clock, the message board goes up for Room to Ruin trading info. And that is outside in the pre-function area of the Marcellus Hall area. And then at 10 o'clock, registration closes. That's not a hard 10, because if there's still people in line, they're not going to close the line and say, ha, see you tomorrow.
Right. It'd be funny if they did.
Well, some people think they would. I mean, it is a club. The evil club would do something like that. Immediately following the closing of registration on Thursday night, wherever restaurant you see me in, you're buying my drinks, because that is my birthday. So thank you very much, everybody. Shit.
When's your birthday?
The 10th.
Okay. So don't go near Gary on the 10th. Gotcha.
All right. Friday, April 11th, 7:30 to 2. That's the window where all the exhibitors, if you didn't set up the night before, you get to set up again. From 8 to 9:30 and 11 to 12:30 is a contest setup. Don, you got anything for the contest this year?
I do. I have two things.
Wow. Yeah. What you got? Can you clue us in?
I'm doing I got a vehicle and a figure.
Wow.
I know. I'm going all out.
Looking forward to it. How many times have you placed in the contest?
Four.
Four times. Nice.
Second place every time.
Oh,
always the bridesmaid.
Yeah. Right. Somehow I don't think perennial bridesmaid is going to stick as Don's regular nickname.
Perennial bride. What?
Perennial bridesmaid Don Anderson.
At 8:30 to 9:30, the exhibitor-only private club sales or club store sales begin. So if you're an exhibitor, the club store will open for you between 8:30 and 9:30.
Hello.
So you'll just get in line there.
What do you mean? Yeah, I'm recording tonight.
This is live podcasting right here, folks.
A peek inside the Emanuele house.
Wait a minute, is my microphone still live?
Yes, it is.
You're muted, Chuck. You can hear a thing.
Oops, sorry.
Keep talking. You're not. You're muted. Keep talking.
All right, 9:30 is the volunteers assemble for the parachute club.
All things considered, that was relatively minor. That could have been a lot worse.
Yeah. could have been said there. Yeah, listen, jack off, Gary. Go down a club thing for the con I'm not going to. Fuck that guy.
No, Ma, I want a cookie.
All right, so 9:30 is volunteers assemble for the parachute drop. Now, typically, the volunteer list for the parachute drop goes up. Typically, it's been the last couple of years, Wednesday night during the golden ticket package pickup.
Yep.
So if you're a non-golden ticket package pickup person, chances are you're not getting on that list unless they bring that list out at another time. That's just how it goes.
Even then, it goes quick.
Yeah, and last year, if, for instance, Debbie went up and started put her name and was allowed to put my name on the list, but she couldn't put Don, George, Jay, James. She couldn't do all the other ones. So she could only put myself and her on there. So the trick there is to find a woman and go up and have that woman go up and sign herself and you up, and that's how you do it.
So there's still time, everybody.
There's still time.
Still time.
Find George. He's close enough to a woman to make
a he's got Karen this year.
Find your soulmate in the next 2.5 days.
All right, also at 9:30 is the walk-up late registration package pickup. I cannot stress this enough. Do not try showing up Thursday night.
I'm expecting to get some.
Yeah, you're not. You're just not gonna.
Friday.
And you could complain as loud as you want and all that. It's just not gonna happen. And Justin and I will be working a line. I think Sledge will be working a line with us. Carl.
We will kick your ass if you complain.
Yeah, just show up the next day. Chances are there's gonna be stuff left over. So relax. But you know, you can't just walk up and go, oh, I know it's registration night. I haven't registered. Let's do it now. Oh. Man. You mean you missed registration that happened 2 weeks ago? Okay.
Well, it was a short registration this year.
Whatever. At 10 o'clock in the morning there, club store opens for registered guests. Typically, that line starts queuing immediately following the parachute drop. It's like everyone runs back over and starts lining up in that line. And that line will get really big really quick. At 10:30, though, they have the parachute drop. So what you might want to do is have a friend stand in line for you. I don't know how that works. Well, it depends on who's watching the line. At 11 to 11:50 is the first panel, and that is the G.I. Joe Film Fest. Last year was a really cool film with stop-motion 12-inch figures making fun of the club. I thought that was hilarious. Second place was this really awesome video by The Coil.
Which somebody went horse supporting.
I gave it my all. I sold out big time. From 12 to 12:50, this might be the first panel you definitely want to go to. And this is the G.I. Joe Collectors Club magazine comic panel featuring David Lane and Pete Sinclair. Keep in mind, Justin Bell is a contributor, so I'm sure Justin will be at this one.
I'm going to try my best.
Okay.
They're not going to let you be on the panel, Justin.
I'll just go up there and sit down. What are they going to do, kick me off?
Yeah.
He should be on the panel.
I'll sit in Dave's lap.
Ooh.
David likes that.
Then he won't kick you off. Sorry, Dave.
I'm not.
Following the magazine panel, it's 1 to 150 3D printing sculpt CAD. I would assume that is being done by someone with Boss Fight.
I would assume that is correct.
Okay. And that's in the reunion ballroom. And the reunion ballroom is where all your panels will be. At 2 o'clock, 2 to 5, the exhibit hall opens for private preview. So basically, if you got a badge, those doors are only open to you. General admission is not allowed in until the next day. From 2 to 3:30, autographs begin with Michael McConaughey. That's it. I didn't call him McConaughey. I called him Conaughey. How well do I know my Joe? About as much as Chuck. Michael Bell, Michael Dobson, B.J. Ward, and Morgan Lofting will be making themselves available for your autographs. Etiquette in the autograph line, folks. Two items. And go to the back of the line, and if you have any more than that, go to the back of the line. Do it again. Please do not bring up 80 kabillion things for someone to sign. That just reeks of fanboyism, and after a while, the people behind you in line are probably going to get pretty pissed off. Remember, everyone's there to have fun. These guys are going to be here all weekend. Have them sign a couple items, go back in the line, or pick another time. Last year, there was this one guy. I hate to say it because he's a local guy, because it was the Indianapolis convention. He was a local guy. He just, every little thing he had that Larry could sign, he had Larry sign it. I'm thinking, good God. And Larry was not feeling well already. And you could just kind of tell that he was getting a little perturbed. And I'm like, after a while, he handed Larry one comic. I think it might have been one of the Devil's Due comics. And Larry finally said, I have nothing to do with Devil's Due. And just refused to sign it.
And has Larry ever refused to sign anything? I mean, geez.
He will sign. My understanding, if he had some involvement with it, he will sign it. And when the Devil's Due comic came out, it was the very first Devil's Due issue, the convention preview issue they did.
Oh, yeah.
And he's like, I didn't have anything to do with that, so I'm not going to sign it.
Larry signed Justin Bell's boob, to give you some backdrop on that.
Well, you know, he had something to do with Justin Bell. I don't know. But, you know, it's just just show some etiquette. Show some class. Don't freaking bring them 8 things to sign. Good Lord.
Stop being that guy.
Don't be that guy. And don't bring it to the freaking dinner either.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
God. Anyways, also from 3:30 to 5, the second round of autographs are coming in, and that would be Kirk, Larry, and Sam Spears. All three you want to go see.
Yes.
And make sure you tell Kirk you heard him last on What's On Joe Mind, even though that episode's not done yet. Which we haven't explained why we're doing episode 93 and we don't have 92 done yet. There you go.
Why don't you go ahead and explain that now?
I just did.
It's Chuck's fault.
No, you just mentioned it. You didn't really explain it.
It's Chuck's fault.
We're not done editing 92. It's Chuck's fault.
Well, there you go, then.
It's Chuck's fault.
See, 1 to 1:30, the contest area is closed because they're doing judging. 5 o'clock, all exhibits close. Showroom closes. Go drink.
Woo!
7:30 to 9 is the golden ticket meet and greet for all your golden ticket folks.
Woo! Also happening that night, it's not on the official schedule, but at 8 o'clock, Boss Fight Studio is holding their one-year anniversary shindig in the hotel as well. So I'm sure you will see details on where that's going to be held. And they're going to be doing some trivia and some sketches and some different things like that. So it's not an official con activity, but you might want to think about squirreling away some time Friday evening to attend that.
Yes, definitely. We will be the... We're going to be the game master, the ring master. What do we? We got some role in that.
Yeah, we'll play it by ear. We'll do what they tell us to do.
Not sure. We got some role, but I don't know exactly what it is. Okay, moving on to Saturday, 7:30. You exhibitors can get up early after a long night of drinking and set up. 8:30, walk up late registration. Package pickup for those folks. 8:30, also registered attendees private preview. This is, again, the registered attendees get into the room before general admission because general admission will open at 10. The panels will start at 10 also. And this first one, we definitely want to recommend everyone to go try to see at 10 to 10:50. Action Man and Action Force, G.I. Joe changing the UK forever. One Mr. David Tree.
Yes, he rocked it last year, so everybody left his panel feeling like they were a better person than before. So definitely check this one out.
I take full credit for that.
You should. Because I think you're the only person in the room that they could understand their accent.
That's awful. All I did last year, for the record, I just introduced Dave. That's all. And I sat up in the dais like I knew what was going on. I had no idea what was going on.
Started taking notes, going,
blowing kisses to the front row.
Yes.
From 10 to noon... the autographs start over again by the voice talent, so there's your second chance to go see him. From 11 to 11:50 is another panel, Action Figure Design Process and Q&A, Boss Fight Studio. Be there.
Should be a good time.
Yeah.
From noon to 12:50. You get to see exactly how they get Justin Bell vacuum sealed to their backsides. How they get that crisp seal.
That crisp lip seal right there? Yep.
Not as
from noon
as you
to 12:50. Wow.
A lot of prep.
Wow.
A lot of prep.
Ooh, lot of lip gloss, too, apparently.
Blue duct tape.
A lot of prep.
From noon to 12:50, once again, it's the history of G.I. Joe. From 1943 to today, it's Kirk and Sam. That looks like that might be a good one.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
From 1 to 150, another panel, 44 Years of Adventure, one Mr. Barry Kay. I recommend you go see that one as well.
Absolutely.
From 2 to 250 is a panel, Once Upon a Time, a Joe story with all of the voice talent. So this is probably where they're going to have their script reading.
Mm-hmm.
From 3 to 350, the can't miss, really, if you don't get to any other panel, this is the one you got to go to, really. It's the, and that's not even talking about our own panel. This is the G.I. Joe Collectors Club Roundtable with the staff. And this is where we'll find out about FSS3. Because they mentioned in the early elitist edition of the newsletter that they will be announcing FSS3 at JoeCon.
Yay!
There you go.
I wonder which member of the original 13 will be the 13th figure this year.
Short fuse.
Actually,
short fuse with glass.
Shouldn't give them ideas, though.
3 to 5. No, we don't want to give them any ideas.
It's tan clutch.
Tan clutch.
That one got done.
I'm tired and I gotta drive tomorrow.
We're trying to get this done quick. You guys keep interrupting me.
Whatever, blame us, ass.
Yeah, from 3 to 5, Kirk, Larry, and Sam are autographing again. From 4 to 4:50, your second Can't Miss panel of the weekend, G.I. Joe, the 50th anniversary podcast special, What's on Joe Mind, and the Regular Joes team up. It's an adventure.
That'll be fun.
Can't miss that. Yeah, it'll be fun. We got some good ideas that we've been working on for the show. 5 o'clock, we'll wrap up the exhibit room, and the sales room will close. And from 7 to 11 is known as the Deborah Boyd Godso Casino Night Awards Dinner.
That sums it up pretty well.
Yeah. Yeah. If you're at a table with one Deborah Boyd Godso playing, you might just want to leave because...
No, don't leave. Table. So clean up and then you get stuff.
When it comes to real money, no way. Fake money, she'll win all of it. All right, Sunday,
wait, don't forget the CFB meeting.
Well,
hello?
Okay, that is a good point. After the awards night dinner, which is, say, about 10 o'clock or so?
Yeah, about 10:30.
You'll be hearing Don. I'm sure we'll be making plenty of announcements. You'll hear people grabbing other people to take them out into the lobby. We'll be a kind of a public gathering area, and you'll have the yearly CFB meeting.
Indeed. Look for Jim. Jim will take care of you.
Jim Buttel, the CFB ambassador.
Host of Jim Buttel Week on the Discovery Channel.
Discovery Channel, yeah. All right, Sunday, wrap-up day. Exhibitors set up again at 9:30. The hall opens for everybody. 10 to 10:50 is a new panel, Battle Plan G.I. Joe, Battle Plan G.I. Joe, G.I. Joe, the Battle Begins. Kirk and Larry will be doing that, their annual tag team matchup there. 10 to 11:30, autographs again for the voice talent will be taking place in the dealer room. From 11 to 11:50, another panel, A Real American Hero, an archaeological look. I'm surprised that they spelled that right. An archaeological look by Sam Damon, Gary Head, one noted author, James Cavanaugh Jr., Chris Murray, and Patrick Not Picard Stewart.
That will be amazing.
And a cast of thousands.
And a cast of thousands from the JDSO podcast.
Yeah, you should definitely check out that. That sounds like a pretty badass little look back.
From noon to 12:50, we're back to the panel, the voice actors panel. So I don't know, they'll be doing another reading, or maybe it's just more of a Q&A. From 12:30 to 2, Kirk, Larry, and Sam will be signing again out on the dealer floor. From 1 to 1:50, panel, it's G.I. Joe costuming, put all these colons here. G.I. Joe costuming, design your own costume. So for those of you in the cosplay, check that out. At 3:15, Brian's going to draw for two trips to the 2015 convention in
Anchorage, Alaska.
Anchorage, Alaska next year. And if you're foreign, sorry, trip's not that free.
That was awesome. The look on his face when those Brazilian guys won, oh my God, I thought he was going to have a hard time.
Spanish guys, Spanish, yeah.
Oh, sorry, yeah, Spanish guys.
I think they comped the first $500 or something.
Yeah, it's like $450, $500, something like that. And then at 3 o'clock, it's all done for 2014. Round the horn real quick. Guys, other than our own panel, which we were expected to be at, Mike, what you looking forward to?
I want to get to Barry's.
Okay.
That's probably the one that's probably the facet of things where I know the least, where I've got the least amount of my own personal knowledge. So I'd like to get to Barry's and see what new wrinkles I can uncover there.
Justin?
Yeah, I do like Mike's choice. I've been following the Adventure Teen comic and the club newsletter, and I've been loving that. So I like the idea of what Barry's doing, but I definitely want to check out Dave Tree's panel this year too. The way he covers the European stuff is just amazing. But then there's the boss fight panel, of course, which sounds really, really awesome. And then of course the Jota Classified panel as well. I mean, there's a lot of really, really cool stuff. And one of the neatest things about the convention this year, it seems especially, there's a lot of fan participation with all these seminars. I mean, these, the ones I just mentioned aren't even the official ones. They're just ones that fans are kind of getting out there and telling the club they want to put together, and that's what's really cool about this, the fan interaction, kind of see what other fans are doing, what they're getting into, and kind of the information they can share. And I think that's really speaks to the strength of the G.I. Joe Online community. And even if Hasbro's not showing up, there's still plenty of stuff to reveal, plenty of stuff to talk about, thanks to the fans kind of all coming together and doing what they do.
Don?
David Tree.
David Tree,
yeah, the
okay.
Foreign... The club one, you got to go to the club one.
Well, yeah, of course. Yeah, that's a definite.
The 3D thing with the boss fight sounds very interesting. If they're doing it, I imagine they are.
Yeah, I'm probably down with Barry as well. It's hard to believe that's the only really 12-inch only panel of the entire weekend.
Amazing.
Wow. Sad. And normally you would get a couple, but this is just the only 12-inch only.
And Sam Spear, which one is Sam Spears participating in? Is he working with Larry?
He's doing Kirk. He's going to be with Kirk.
There'll probably be some 12-inch stuff.
But it's gonna start at the 12-inch, and then I think Kirk said it'll be morphed into how it went in through the 80s and into the day. So
that one will be good, too.
All of them are really good this year.
Yeah, it's a strong lineup. There have been some years in the past where it looked a little soft, looked a little repetitive. I think there's a lot of new information, a lot of new fun stuff that everybody's going to want to get. It'll be a busy time in the panel room this year.
Yep.
Especially for What's on Joe Mind, Regular Joe's joint 50th anniversary podcast.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, some of these are going, we'll be sitting in there seriously for 3 hours. We'll be trying to find... I hope there's a quick place to grab lunch really quick. Because, a lot of these go right through the heart of the day. Yeah. Especially after a night of drinking and having nothing on your stomach.
Yeah.
Justin Bell in the trash can in Minneapolis.
What was it? Justin, was it you sitting next to me in Rhode Island and... noted author James Cavanaugh was passed out.
Yeah, he was like sleeping. He was in a 3-piece suit. And he was sleeping strewn across 5 chairs next to us in a freaking 3-piece suit.
That was great.
That's a James. That's a James maneuver, though.
Yeah, that was great.
But the thing that makes it a classic James is that everybody would stand there and kind of chuckle at it, and nobody would try to kick him out or anything.
No one would touch him. Dude, sleeping.
Yeah, if it was you or me, they'd kick us out. We'd be in jail. James Cavanaugh. No,
get this vagrant out of here.
Let him sleep.
All right. Well, there you go. There is your schedule for JoeCon. Stuff we recommend. Well, that's a real tough call for having to miss one if you have to miss one for a meal or something. All these are must-go.
Curse that eating.
So what's that bring us to in the program now? No mailbag.
No mailbag.
No mailbag. No intermission.
No intermission.
So,
I have the 10-day forecast up that you said you wanted.
You do have the 10-day forecast?
I do.
All right, what is the 10-day forecast for Dallas, Texas?
Dallas, Texas actually looking very nice this week. For those of us getting in early, Wednesday we'll have a high of 77, sunny. Thursday, partly cloudy, 82 for a high. That's actually as warm as it's going to be is Thursday. Friday, high of 80, partly cloudy. Saturday, cloudy and 77. Very little chance of precipitation at any point during the weekend. Until we get to Sunday. Sunday we've got a 50% chance of rain. Scattered thunderstorms, high of 74. So maybe a little bit of moisture as most folks are leaving. For those of us leaving on Monday, a little bit cooler after the rain. 59 for a high. Mostly cloudy skies, but again, only a 10% chance of precipitation on Monday.
All right.
So very, very mild for con week in Dallas, Texas. Very mild.
This AccuWeather forecast brought to you by?
Well, who should we have this brought to? JoeArmory.com. JoeArmory.com. Founder John Armijo loves G.I. Joe so much, he's got Joe twice in his name.
All right.
And I do want to make sure people are checking out. I'm hopefully going to be wearing my Tevas during the convention, and my 8-year-old daughter thought it would be appropriate last weekend to paint my nails, so I'll be rocking some nice purple toenails for JoeCon this year, so everybody should be excited about that.
Aw. Barefoot Justin.
Yeah.
He's such a dad.
Oof. All right. All right.
Something's got to cover up them bird claws.
Yeah. Hammer toe. Are we ready? Are we ready to get to the next?
I'm not sure how that's resolving, but it is.
Can we get to the next segment?
There's a next segment? Fuck, I thought we were going to bed. What the hell, man?
All right, this is what we got in this week. Did we get anything?
Nothing. Chuck? Fuck off.
Chuck?
He's asleep.
Yeah. Unfortunately, this is an off week for me. I ordered some stuff today, but nothing's come in yet, so hopefully next week or so.
Okay. Mike, got anything?
I did. I found Wave 4 at the Five Below, of course.
Woohoo!
Picked myself a Night Viper and a Jinx and a Blind Master, and just really those last two, just in case anybody else might have needed them.
Wait. Wait a minute. You found Wave 4?
Jesus, yes, Chuck, were you paying attention during the entire show?
Yeah, no, I was, but I thought it was because I put up 3.5, because that's what
I did. I went off the book on that one, because I personally found Wave 4.
Oh, wow, that's actually some big news.
So it looks like whatever Hasbro had, they're kicking out to Five Below.
Oh, okay.
Chuck, you need some RZA?
I need some RZA, I need some Jinx, and I need one Night Viper. Just one, I'm not greedy.
Don't give it to me.
I can help you out on two of those.
We'll talk.
I'm going to guess one of them is not Night Viper.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, Mike's getting the cold shoulder.
But hey, look, he's got the RZA. We all need some RZA.
Can't go wrong with the RZA.
That's a really badass figure. I really like that figure.
Knife, Viper, RZA, and Jinx, right?
She's auto-tuning right now.
She's auto-tuning.
That was impressive, Chuck. I like you busted a move right there.
Chuck believes in love, life after love.
Do you like what I'm doing?
Sorry. Oh, now it stopped. That's
reaching for the mouse. Going to right-click. See you, Chuck.
But no, seriously, Wave 4 was just the Knife, Viper, RZA, and Jinx.
Correct,
right?
And a bunch of the army builders.
Oh, go out, yeah. All right.
All right, Don. Anything
this week? Nothing.
Nothing.
I'm saving my money for JoeCon.
I got some Annie Capp's hot fries and a can of iced tea.
That's big news right there, too.
Yeah.
We're not doing the segment. What you drinking?
No, it wouldn't be. Wouldn't be prudent. We need to have Mrs. McMahon.
We save that for Slick and his gang.
That's right.
Slick's supposed to be at JoeCon. We need to track him down.
Yes.
Yeah.
He and I co-conspired for the whole registration notification stuff. He was sending me texts. I was sending him texts to make sure we all got what we needed. And he did get a golden ticket. So he will be in that golden ticket line with the rest of us elitists besides you, Gary, and Don, because you both suck.
I'm going to get my stuff early for you guys.
I don't. I'm that weird guy who actually got in early enough that had I had the money for it, I could have gotten one. But
yeah.
But I don't really have $300 just laying around.
Gary, I'm a volunteer too, so I'll be right there with you.
Yeah. Justin, you get anything?
I continue to spend way too much money on accessories for my Dio story that I'm working on, but that's pretty much it. I got a bunch of stuff in for that. Nothing huge, but I also did pick up a couple of I just lost my train of thought. What did I pick up a couple of? Of course, the show that you're not editing is the one that... I figured that was a given, yeah. anyway, I bought Dio Story stuff, and I can't think of anything else, so...
Okay.
Andy Capp's Hot Fries.
No.
All right.
Why not?
Why not?
They're delightful.
I'll take your word for it. I did buy a Marvel Legends Captain America Winter Soldier figure because that movie is amazingly badass, but I couldn't
find it. Oh, my God, yes.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Now, speaking of, that's about the only thing that I spent money to. It's gone and see the movie. That's it for me.
Okay, I did spend money on that one, too. So.
Oh, my God, that movie was
fantastic.
Awesome.
Holy cow.
Yeah.
All right. Chuck, shutouts. Chuck got shut out.
I understand what you're saying. First of all, I'd like to give a shout-out to a group of people I haven't mentioned in a while, and that was a real mistake of my part. A big shout-out to the Tri-State Vipers, you know, the local New York, Connecticut, New Jersey area Joe fans. I do hope to see some of you guys at EternalCon this year. Also got to give a shout-out to my boy Arun. You know, He was live tweeting WrestleMania with me, you know, with me too. Also last week, I know he, Justin, and I got into a little bit about movie Optimus Prime, but whatever.
He is so wrong about movie Optimus Prime.
But please, we'll get not now. other than that, just I think it's great that you know. I think you know. Point of mention, this is like the first show that you've had the Mighty Four on in a long time, so felt like a long time, so great to have us all back, and yeah, that's about it.
Mike,
of course, our sponsors, all the cool stuff, joearmory.com, Dallas Vintage Toys, who might be getting a visit this week, Kokomo Toys, Dorkside Toys, and Big Bad Toy Store. Be sure to visit all of our fine, fine sponsors. Buy stuff from them. Let them know what a great job they're doing by supporting us, supporting this podcast. And, of course, you know, to our listeners, if you spend 5-10 minutes even listening to us blather on about nonsense, talk about football, what have you, we do appreciate that. It's always nice to have to get feedback from fans who just write in and say, hey, love the program, keep doing what you're doing. You know, look, we look forward. Con is a great time for that, too, because we really look forward to meeting some of the fans that don't write in, that don't necessarily have anything to say, just enjoy the program. The last couple of years, we've had the ability to do that you know, really makes doing this show a lot more special when we can, you know, put names and voices and faces to some of the folks who aren't, you know, who aren't stars, who aren't, you know, who aren't, super involved in the community necessarily, who it's just a hobby for, but they're just as important. And so, by all means, if you see us this weekend, stop us, bother. Justin Bell loves to sign autographs.
Yes,
I know that
especially
for a fact.
Breasts.
Especially boobs. Justin Bell is way in on that. And especially moobs. Justin Bell is way in on that.
Yeah, you're going to see a lot of them, dude.
Maybe one or two.
But by all means, stop us. Say hey. We are always happy to talk shop. Always happy to talk about the program. And and we'll be happy to get to know you as well. So that's my encouraging shout out. Annoy us, please.
Don, want to go ahead and pitch CFB again?
CFB? No. You're going to be there.
Maybe.
You'll be there.
I'll be there. Who am I?
I'll make Jim come and get you.
What the hell else do I have to do? You know I'm going to be there.
We all have to pass out somewhere. It's better at the CFB meeting.
Exactly. At least the people drawing mustaches on me with a Sharpie will be the people I know and care about.
That's exactly it. CFB meeting? Tuesday night. Jesus. If you go there Tuesday night, I won't be there.
Yet.
On Saturday night, after the award ceremony and Gary has his wife buy him something nice from the auction, we will be doing our CFB meeting. All you have to do is go through the 93 Joes and find your favorite one that you dislike and come on by and nominate him. We should have, we'll have another European Joe this year because we have several European people coming.
course.
Nah, just the British.
No, Nathan's coming. Australians, we have some Spanish.
He's not European. That's European?
Wait, he's not European. It doesn't matter. He's
I guess at one point, Australia
was European. Shut up.
That is true.
Shut up.
That's the entire wrong side of the globe, but close.
I'm an art major. Anyway.
And the Fair Africans enough. From Peru will be coming.
And the Africans from Peru.
Fair enough. He's an art major. That explains a lot.
Oh.
Guys, stop going home. No. Fine. We'll have foreigners there, including several that are...
Foreigners aren't too welcome down in Texas.
That'll be here legally. So, dear come Lord. On by. Have fun at the meeting. It's always a good time.
All right. Thank you, Don.
You're welcome.
Justin.
First shout-out I want to give is to Justin and the guys over at CobraStickers.com. I don't know if people check out Cobra Stickers on a regular basis, but they've got a great assortment of decals for almost any G.I. Joe or Cobra vehicle you can think of, a lot of custom stuff, too. If you are watching CobraStickers.com and you see them announce a sticker set for Fort America, take a look at it carefully. You may see some promotional posters in there that you can stick on your Ford America vehicle, and one of those promotional posters just might be for your favorite G.I. Joe podcast, which is something that was very cool that Justin kind of threw together for us. What's that?
Flag points?
Yeah, there's a Flag Points poster, yeah. So that was very cool. So big shout-out to them for kind of – paying us a little tribute
right,
there.
We had them on the show a while back.
Yes, episode 69, believe it or not.
Woo-hoo! Okay.
But yeah, so big shout-out to them. Also, shout-out to Brian Hickey, who's one of our aforementioned European fans. He's not going to convention, but he is.
From Australia.
No, he's actually from England.
I'm tired, man.
Ireland.
Ireland.
Brian is Irish, yes.
Irish, yes. Thank you for correcting me. Yes, he's Irish. But yeah, he's doing a little special project for me that hopefully will be unveiled soon. So a big shout out to him for kind of putting some time into that and hoping to see some results of that shortly after JoeCon. And, shout out to the guys at Yojo.com for continuing to work on the General Joe's Yojo integration. I know Terry's been putting in some time dealing with that stuff and, it's been kind of slow going, but it is still in progress, and I guess that about covers it.
All right, well, shout out again to all the listeners who have been patiently awaiting these episodes, if they've been taking time to come due in fruition. So thank you for your patience. I look forward to seeing everybody at JoeCon. Like I said in the last episode, almost didn't happen, so it'll kind of make this JoeCon a little bit more special because if it could have gone either way, and if the events went another direction, I probably wouldn't be going. But
details on that in the upcoming episode 92.
92. But the way that the things worked out, I was able to go, so... looking forward to seeing everyone again, this year in Dallas. Shout out to the sponsors, of course. Shout out to all friends and family that are listening. Thank you for listening and support and your patronage. And that's pretty much about it. So we should wrap this up right now, guys.
One last minute shout out to our emergency editor again.
The boy.
Yeah, the boy, my brother Jimmy. Because again, our real shout out to him. Is on episode 92, which means we've gone like a full month and a half with him editing things with nary a mention of him on our podcast. But we do have some bumps for him. Jimmy's doing his own podcast now. It's my younger brother, so if you're wondering what the guy sounding like me is doing playing rock music, it's not me. It's him. And, by all means, support him. It's at Maximus Radio on Twitter. And you'll find him on Facebook as well.
Yeah, I believe his regular website is the Maximus Show, MaximusShow.com?
I believe the Maximus Show.
The Maximus Show? Okay. Yeah, look it up, give it a listen.
We know you guys to rock.
Do you like to rock?
That's what he does.
That's what he does.
Flashing the horns.
Once again, I'd like to thank Mr. Don Anderson, the Vice President from the CFB, for joining us
for
the third consecutive year for this live, quick and dirty episode.
Where's that guy?
the lazy ass president? I have no clue.
He's the one that does all the work during the year. That's why we have nothing done.
What? Yeah, that lazy ass president. Oh well. But Don, I would like to thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me again.
No problem. Fellas, anything else before we wrap this up?
Nothing at all.
Captain America Winter Soldier.
Yes, definitely go see Captain America Winter Soldier.
And watch the G.I. Jeff episode of Community on Hulu if you haven't by now.
Oh, by all means, please. So, for our showrunner Chuck, co-host Justin, and Mike, I'm Gary, and to all of our men and women serving, God bless, Godspeed, and come home safe. Good night, folks, and thanks for listening. We'll catch you next time for the next episode of
What's on Joe Mind?
Got it. See ya, Joe Con.
See you in Dallas.
See you.
Bye. If you ever song I'll sing for you. When I come back, I'll bring your wedding ring. So kiss me and smile for me. Tell me that you'll wait for me. Hold me like you'll never let me go. Cause I'm leaving on a jet plane. Don't know when I'll be back again. Oh babe, I hate to go. Now the time has come to leave you. One more time and let me kiss you. Close your eyes and I'll